Thank you. Lovely to be here. I'm actually going to steal a moment of OGT Minds in that today is quite an important day for us in OGTC, because as you'll see from my screen, we have actually rebranded as the Net Zero Technology Centre today, which is quite timely considering, and just a great opportunity for really tying in together all the things that we already do in the centre, but it is sort of suitable to the conversation we're having tonight, which is ultimately about this innovation opportunity for energy transition. And I've been really interested to listen to the other speakers, and I'm fascinated about the system approach. And I don't know if the rest of you are sitting there thinking, wow, this sounds so complex. And I wonder sometimes if we're trying to bite off a whole elephant when we might need to take the odd toe. So I sort of thought I'd bring it back, because we certainly, as I represent mostly oil and gas and the transition, the energy transition for oil and gas to a net zero future, that sometimes I need to bring people back to the whole emotion and what's at stake here. So I like to ask people, what do you think of when you think about climate change and the whole climate challenge that we have? And these pictures are pretty evocative, and there's a reason, because when we're talking about so much of this engineering and science, actually delivery really requires engagement of nations, and nations are more emotional than they are technical. And I think we need to try and get across how complex this whole energy transition is. So when you look at the conditions we've got, and then you think about the energy transition, what there do you think of? I mean, this idea of combining so many different systems, different needs, and trying to put them together, this concept of Derrida's map of how it all looks, and you know, the sort of steps you have to take in creating that map that Guy outlined, incredibly complex. But if you layer on another challenge, which is particularly when we sit here in Scotland, the concept of the just transition, what we really identify is we have a super multi-layered, multifaceted problem that actually is embedded in changes we started making literally hundreds of years ago. If you think that this is all embedded in the industrial revolutions, if you think how, oops, we started back, you know, mechanization, then into the, you know, the electric. Imagine how important electricity is to us now, but mass production all the way through to automation. Again, we started, you know, this whole remote operation, our lives now. Who would have thought a few years ago that we would be doing a meeting like this today in a remote way? But the whole computing revolution has greatly changed our expectations of how we live. And now into this more intelligence challenge, where it's really come out of the industrial area and into our homes. And you know, this started a while ago, and when you think about your Fitbits and your mobile phone, but actually work has literally come into our homes because of the pandemic. So the pace of change that we have seen from a mobile phone back in the 1990 to literally wearing a mini computer on your arm, which we're doing right now, is quite stunning. And it is the root of the climate change challenge that this whole systems conversation is about. But I think we also need to remember that this change and this transformation has also provided us with health, wealth, education, mobility, longevity, and more than anything in the last few years, connectivity and access. So while we do need to roll this back and we need to find a way, a system to make it work, we also have to value and cherish the benefits that this industrialization has brought. And we also need to remember the just element, because while we sit here with all of this access, it's not the same globally. And as we've identified, this is a global problem, not a local one. So it does make me think that the energy transition, you know, it's a huge change and our industrial history is embedded in it. But actually, it's a massive opportunity as well. And this systems approach provides us within the opportunity, because the scale, the impact of this energy transition really allows us to reshape the future of the energy system, create one that is sustainable, secure, affordable, and inclusive in the long term. We need to think about one that's not imposed upon us, but that we do design it, that we plan it, that we create it with intent and commitment. But we also need to think about innovation, pace, and the impact of some of our decisions, ensuring that the solutions we find now do not become the problems of our children in the future. We do need to think about solutions that are fit for the planet, people, and posterity. But I do represent oil and gas, so I kind of like to bring it back to the North Sea. And what does the energy transition look like? And what, hence, would a system look like for the North Sea? So this slide for us really captures, you know, the transition in the North Sea. If you actually look at the left-hand side, you see 2020 and what we call the size of the prize, the size of the value of the industry, which is about 15 billion. What you see then across the others is the size of renewables, hydrogen, and CCUS. And through time, you see oil and gas reducing by 2050 and all of the other energy systems increasing. This kind of is one version, it's a CCC version of how we are going to create an integrated energy system for the future. A couple of key messages to take away. We recognize that not only is there a need for the oil and gas industry to decline for us to get to the net zero that we need to get to, we also recognize that there's a need for us to be here to enable the growth of renewables, hydrogen economy, and CCUS. But the size of the prize more than doubles between 2020 and 2050. And one of the messages that we need to start getting out there is that there is room for everybody in this pie. The way to ensure that you have a just transition is that you use the transition period, that you build a map to this future that we want, and you create it in a way that jobs can be transferred, that we can reuse existing facilities, we can reuse capabilities, skills, strengths that we have, and that we can transition to this different integrated energy system. If you look at the maps on the right-hand side, we're talking about changing the face of the North Sea from just an oil and gas arena to being somewhere where we reuse those facilities for hydrogen, for carbon sequestration, that we reuse infrastructure that already exists so that we minimize the carbon footprint that we require for this new integrated energy system. And on work we did a year ago, we looked at the kind of critical technologies that you would need to be able to deliver this. And there's a host of them that would unlock the future. And it's critical that we start investing at pace in these, and they need to fit into this concept of an integrated energy system. Because, you know, things like carbon capture and sequestration go hand in hand with the existing oil and gas industry today. Moving to blue hydrogen allows us to fast track a hydrogen economy, but also prepare for a green hydrogen future. So there's lots of ways where they can be synergistic and helpful to each other. And it leads us to what I would like to imagine is a proper integrated energy system where we have wind partnered with oil and gas, where hydrogen works hand in hand with all of those to deliver the kind of future that we need in the North Sea and in the UK. And as Jim showed us earlier, there are a number of projects already in action, projects like Orion, where they look at an integrated energy hub. And ultimately, you know, we require investment in pace. We require for us to sort of work in partnership. And I think if there was one message or discussion that I'd like to come out of tonight, it's not just the integrated energy system, but an integrated approach to how we work on this problem together, cross-sector and cross-industry, because I think that's what ultimately we need to be successful against this challenge. So I'm going to stop there. I know we're quite close on time, and I'm looking forward to the Q&A part of this particular session.